بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه وتحلى بصفاته إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا يسخر قوم من قوم عسى أن يكونوا خيرا منهم، ولا نساء من نساء عسى أن يكن خيرا منهن، ولا تلمزوا أنفسكم ولا تنابزوا بالألقاب، بئس الاسم الفسوق بعد الإيمان، ومن لم يتب فأولئك هم الظالمون. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من ستر مسلما ستره الله في الدنيا والآخرة، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected ulama kiram, elders and beloved brothers in Islam, all praise and thanks is due to Allah Rabbul Izzah, who has blessed us with a complete and perfect deen. Unlike other religions, whose scope of governance is generally restricted to acts of ibadat and worship, the deen of Islam is a complete and perfect system of life, which governs and advises every breathing moment of the life of a believer. Not only has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with the bounty and the wealth of iman, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a very great favor and boon of His during the course of our lives in this world. And that is, Allah has made us human beings as social beings. During the course of our lives in this world, each and every person will enjoy different types of relationships and interactions with different types of people. Sometimes it is the relationship between father and son. Sometimes it is the relationship between mother-in-law and daughter-in-law. Sometimes it is the relationship between brother and sister. Sometimes it is the relationship between employer and employee, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alludes to in the Quran, وَهُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ مِنَ الْمَاءِ بَشَرًا فَجَعَلَهُ نَسَبًا وَصِهْرًا. It is Allah who created man from a drop of fluid. And then Allah who established bonds and relationships, sometimes by means of lineage and family ties, sometimes by means of marital ties. وَكَانَ رَبُّكَ قَدِيرًا. And this was well within the power and control of Allah. Be that as it may, respected brothers and elders, generally these relationships and interactions thrive and prosper and become a means of great comfort, solace and benefit coming into the life of a person. But human nature is such, it is inevitable that as time progresses, differences may occur, disputes may arise, conflict may become unavoidable. And if these differences and conflicts are not resolved timeously, then far from those relationships being a means of comfort and benefit, on the contrary, it will now become a means of complete heartbreak and total ruin and destruction for a person in his or her life. Where it was a happy and healthy home, it is now a marriage that is on the rocks. Where it was a thriving and flourishing business partnership, it is now a business that is on the brink of liquidation. Where it was a means of bringing happiness to the heart of a person, it now becomes a means of sleepless nights as he struggles to deal with the conflict in these relationships. At this juncture, we have to understand, as reciters of Kalima La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, Allah Rabbul Izzah has kept the solution to each and every problem and challenge in His deen. And therefore, when we look into the teachings of the Quran and the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we learn and realize that Allah has given us guidelines. If these guidelines and advices are implemented in the life of each and every person, then not only will it become a means of resolving conflicts, but it will become a means of avoiding potential differences. Not only will it keep existing relationships healthy and strong, but it will become a means of creating new relationships. It will bring ease, contentment and happiness into the lives of people. Society will thrive and flourish. A person's marital life will be full of bliss and happiness. His social life will be a life of happiness and joy. And every interaction and relationship that he has with others will become a means of benefit for him in his life. In the 26th juz of Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought a chapter of the Quran which is titled Suratul Hujurat. Hujurat refers to the private chambers or the rooms of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As we know, in Madinatul Munawwara, adjacent to Masjidun Nabawi, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had his rooms or his chambers in which the Azwaji Mutahharat would reside. And the reason that this surah was given its name is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives guidelines to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum with regard to the etiquette they should display when they visit Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in these chambers and rooms. But Mufassireen have taken it one step further. And they have mentioned that the alternate name for this surah is in fact Suratul Akhlaq. The surah, the chapter on etiquette. And that is when we go past the advice that is given to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, we find later on in the surah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala issues general advice, which is given to the Muslim public, that if you will bring these factors into your life, and if you will lead your life in accordance to these teachings, if you will bring your relationships under the scope of these advices, then you will find that your relationships also will thrive and will flourish. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts off by addressing the people of Iman, Ya أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. And here Mufassireen have explained when this address is brought, then this is in fact an appeal that Allah is making. Ya أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, O those who have believed in me, O those who have Iman and faith in me, by virtue of your Iman, you are now being addressed by Allah. That listen attentively to the advice that I am about to give you. Because in this you will find your success in this world and in the hereafter. The first advice Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives, لَا يَسْخَرْ قَوْمٌ مِّن قَوْمٍ عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُونُوا خَيْرًا مِّنْهُمْ. Allah says, no group of men should mock at, should scoff at, should jeer at any other group. عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُونُوا خَيْرًا مِّنْهُمْ. It is very likely that the group that is being mocked at, the group that is being ridiculed, may in actual fact be better than the group doing the mocking. Their relationship with Allah Rabbul Izzah is not known to you. Their level of ta'alluq and contact with Allah is not known to you. Therefore, this should be avoided. And then Allah goes one step further and says, وَلَا نِسَاءٌ مِّن نِسَاءٌ. No group of women should mock at any other group of women. عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُنَّ خَيْرًا مِّنْهُنْ. It is very likely that the second group is greater than the first group. When we look throughout the Quran, every command, every prohibition that has been mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah gives a general command. No specific gender is addressed. أَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ, Allah issues one command. The men folk are being addressed, together with that the women folk are being addressed. Atu zakah, discharge your zakah. Again, it's a general command. The males are being addressed, the females are also being included. But there are just two occasions in the entire Quran where Allah deliberately separates the address. قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ. Allah instructs Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say to the believing men, they should protect their gazes and they should guard their chastity. And then Allah issues the very same command, وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ, say to the believing females, they also should lower their gazes and protect their chastity. And the second occasion that Allah does this is in this particular verse. Let no group of men mock at another group. Let no group of women mock at another group. Why is the address separated, Mufassireen say? To highlight and emphasize the importance of this command of Allah. Many a times we find, respected brothers and elders, issues may arise. Sometimes it may be in a marriage. There is some minor issue at hand. Husband and wife are disagreeing on some matter. The actual issue at hand is not so serious. But when emotions come into play, when ego comes into play, now it becomes a point scoring exercise. And each party tries to put down the other. The issue itself may be resolved. That may be something they can work through. But because of what has been said, the differences now become irreconcilable. That entire marriage breaks up on account of what was said. Sometimes it is pointing out the physical defects of the other, something which was not within that person's control. And even worse than this, when one party doesn't just mock the other party, but begins to bring family members in. Your father is like this. Your mother said this to me. Your sister treated me in this way. Again, the actual issue at hand may be minor and trivial, but because of the words that have been said, those wounds do not heal so easily. La yaskhar qawmun min qawmin. Allah says no group should ever mock at another group. If there is a difference of opinion, discuss the facts academically. Come to some sort of an agreement. Come to some sort of compromise. It may be in a marital situation. It may be in a business partnership. It may be between two friends. Come to some sort of compromise. But don't ever resort to mocking and insulting one another. This will only bring about heartbreak and difficulty. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَلْمِزُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Do not find faults with one another. Do not search for the flaws and weaknesses of each other. And if we understand the Arabic language, the word used, وَلَا تَلْمِزُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. If this has to be translated literally, then it means do not find fault with yourselves. And Mufassirin have explained this. Why is Allah saying don't find fault with yourself? Who is going to look for his own faults? Because the entire Muslim Ummah is like one brotherhood. If I have to point out the fault and the flaw in my Muslim brother, then in reality I am exposing my own flaws and weaknesses. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the Sahaba, don't ever insult your own parents. The Sahaba radiallahu anhu said, O Nabi of Allah, how is it possible, how is it conceivable for a man to insult his own parents? Who will do this? Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam explained that you are having an argument with someone, and as a result of your anger and your temper rising, you begin to insult and swear at his father. This causes him to become upset, and in retaliation he insults your father. You became the cause for your own parent being insulted. In the very same way Mufassirin explained, وَلَا تَلْمِزُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Don't become the cause of your own flaws and faults being exposed. If I will make it my life's mission to expose the flaws of everybody else, then rest assured the time will come where my own faults will also be exposed. People will search for my weaknesses and my slip-ups. When we look into the lives of the Salafus Salihin, not only did they implement this practice or this teaching of Allah, but they took it one step further. Not only did they refrain from searching for the faults and flaws of others, but they went to great lengths to conceal the weaknesses of people. There was a 3rd century scholar by the name of Hatim al-Asam. His actual name was Hatim, rahimahullah. But scholars have mentioned the reason or the possible reason behind his nickname being al-Asam, the deaf one. It is mentioned on one occasion an elderly woman had come to him to inquire about some mas'ala of deen. He was a scholar, people would come to him, would frequent his gatherings. And this elderly woman, perhaps on account of her age or her ill health, as she was seated in front of him and she began to ask her question, mistakenly she passed wind. And this was heard by Hatim al-Asam and perhaps by those around him. He recognized that this would have been a cause of embarrassment for this woman. So he says to her, irfa'i sawtak, that please raise your voice when you question me, because I am hard of hearing. In this way, making her feel as though he did not hear her passing wind. her izzat and her honor was saved. Scholars have mentioned not only on that occasion did he pretend, but he continued, some have mentioned, for the rest of his life to pretend to be hard of hearing to protect the izzat and the honor of this one elderly woman. So she should not become embarrassed that he heard me passing wind. On account of this, he was nicknamed Hatim al-Asam, Hatim the deaf one, or the one who was hard of hearing. Not only did he refrain from searching for her faults and her flaws, but when some weakness was exposed, he went to great lengths to conceal it. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man satara musliman, that person who the fault or the flaw of somebody else is exposed and disclosed to him. Through some way or the other, he comes to know of the weakness of someone. But he makes an effort to conceal this. He does not expose the person. He does not embarrass the person. سَتَرَهُ اللَّهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allah will conceal his faults. In this world, Allah will conceal him. And when he needs it the most in the hereafter, Allah will conceal him. On that day when the entire creation from Adam alayhi salatu wasalam till the last human will be gathered before Allah, and a person's entire life's reel will be played on the big screen, his parents will see what he got up to, his grandparents will witness his actions, his children and grandchildren will see what he was doing. On that day when he will wish that the earth will swallow him, because his private acts are now being revealed to people, on account of him concealing the flaws of others in this world, Allah will now make Sattari and conceal his flaws and weaknesses from the people. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to this extent Allah will conceal him, that Allah will have a private meeting with certain individuals. I will take your hisab kitab in privacy. Why? So that nobody has to be exposed to your faults and your weaknesses. You made an effort in concealing the flaws of others in this world. وَلَا تَلْمِزُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ Allah says, do not find faults with one another. وَلَا تَنَابَزُوا بِالْأَلْقَابِ Do not call one another offensive nicknames. Many a times we find a person had a history. In his youth, perhaps, he went down the wrong track. And because of this, there was a certain nickname that caught on. And people began to call him by this name. Now he has changed his life. He is of an advanced age. He has grandchildren. He has family members around him. But people continue to use this name for him. Perhaps the person himself may not even mind. But how would his child or grandchild feel when they have to ask, why is our grandfather known as this? And that entire incident behind his name has to be revealed. وَلَا تَنَابَزُوا بِالْأَلْقَابِ Do not call one another offensive nicknames. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to say, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن That O people of Iman, avoid too much of suspicion. إِنَّ بَعْضَ الظَّنِّ إِثْمٌ Allah says, sometimes suspicion can lead to sin. It does not mean that a person should never be suspicious. A person wakes up at 2 o'clock in the morning, he hears some noise in his backyard, and he sees that there is a person in his yard, he has a covering over his face, he has perhaps some tools in his hand. So nobody is expected to believe that maybe he has come to give me a hadiah, a gift of some sort. There we are required to be suspicious. And we are required to take our precaution. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us, sometimes suspicion can lead to sin. When it is unfounded, when there is no real evidence behind it, how many a times we find, and this is very common amongst the masturat and the women folk, something that is common amongst us as well. That person didn't greet me, he must be upset with me. She didn't come to my function because of something I said last week. She wants to prove a point. Or he wants to be better than me. He must have exposed this fault of mine. She must have said this to that person about me. And it is nothing but suspicion and thoughts in the mind. There is absolutely no basis for it. Sometimes the other party is totally innocent. And all this causes is bad blood between the two. إِنَّ بَعْضَ الظَّنِّ إِثْمٌ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, sometimes your suspicion can lead to sin. The very lengthy incident of the ifk and the slander of Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha. There is no time to go into the details. Aisha radiallahu anha mentions, we were coming back from an expedition with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the entire army had stopped at a certain place. And I went to relieve myself, I went into the distance. And after I had relieved myself, I misplaced a necklace of mine. So I was delayed in searching for this necklace. And when I got back to the place that the army was, they had already left. And she mentioned, in those days, the women folk would travel on camel back and they would be secured or concealed in a carriage. And therefore, whoever was responsible for her camel would have assumed that she was already in the carriage. And therefore, they set off without her. So she remained behind in that spot. There was a sahabi by the name of Safwan bin Mu'attal radiallahu anhu, who was appointed by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to stay behind and to come and make sure that the army had not left behind any possessions of theirs. So he comes after some time and he sees Aisha radiallahu anha there. She says he recognized me because he had seen me prior to the command of hijab. When he sees her, he immediately says, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Aisha radiallahu anha immediately conceals herself and then she gets onto his conveyance and he walks in front and he then takes her and they catch up with the army at noon. When they reach the Muslim army, the munafiqeen start spreading the rumor that Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha remained behind with Safwan bin Mu'attal because, wal'iyadu billah, they engaged in adultery together. And this rumor catches on and begins to spread. The entire incident is lengthy, what happens thereafter. But look at how Allah rebukes the believers in this verse. لَوْلَا إِذْ سَمِعْتُمُوهُ ظَنَّ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بِأَنفُسِهِمْ خَيْرًا Allah says, why when you heard this rumor going around, why did you not entertain good thoughts about one another? In other words, why did you have badgumani? Why did you immediately assume the worst? An incident has been mentioned in the books of tafsir. A sahabi by the name of Khalid bin Zayd radiallahu anhu, Abu Ayyub, his wife came to him and said, oh Abu Ayyub, did you not hear the rumor going around regarding Aisha? Immediately he says to her, that tell me, would you commit an act like this? In amazement, she says, never, how can you assume that I would do something like this? He says, why would you then assume that Aisha would do it? Think good of her. Allah says, why did the rest of the believing men and women not think the same way? Why did they immediately assume the worst? How many a times this happens in our daily lives? Sometimes it may just be a missed call from someone, a deleted message from somebody, and he must have been wanting to say this or say that. I'm sure he's angry with me. I'm sure he's upset with me. I'm sure she is speaking behind my back. Ulama explained, on the day of Qiyamah, if I entertained good thoughts about somebody, if I gave somebody the benefit of the doubt, Allah will not take me to task for this. But Allah forbid if I had badgumani, if I immediately thought the worst of others, and this was unfounded without any evidence on my part, then I will have to bring some evidence on the day of Qiyamah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam describes, who is the bankrupt person on the day of Qiyamah? His entire life was filled with good deeds. He made an effort to be in the first saf. He gave thousands of rands away in charity. He did every good action that you could think of. And he will come with hasanat amthalil jibal, with mountains and mountains of good deeds on the day of Qiyamah. But he did not take care of the honor and the izzat of others. He did not care about the rights of others. He insulted people. He spoke ill of others. He entertained suspicions of others. He engaged in backbiting regarding others. He spread the flaws and the weaknesses of people. And each of these people will come as claimants in the court of Allah. And slowly but surely they will begin to take away from this mountain of good deeds. That person who did all of these good actions, but on the day of Qiyamah, he will have nothing to show for it. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, this is the bankrupt person. It should not be that by virtue of me engaging in these things in my life, that I begin mocking at others, I begin pointing out the faults and the flaws of others, I wait for people to slip up and make mistakes, and then I broadcast it to all and sundry. How many a times, the moment I come to know of something that somebody has done, immediately I pick up the phone, did you hear what this person did? Rather, the mindset of a believer, the attitude of a believer is to immediately assume the best. Perhaps he has some excuse. To this extent, ulama say, if you see the man walking into the alcohol store and walking out with a brown paper bag in his hand, assume that that was the only place he could have bought a bottle of water. Don't think bad of him. Yes, this, of course, it goes without saying. Ulama have explained at times when there is detriment to deen, or when there is danger to the deen of Allah, then there are certain occasions where the weaknesses and faults of people will have to be brought to the fore. If I know somebody is doing others down in business, then it is my duty to inform people so that they also are not deceived. But their ulama have spoken about when it is permissible and when it is allowed. We are talking about our general mindset and attitude of continuously running others down, waiting for them to make mistakes. It should not be that because of this, I become the muflis, the bankrupt one on the day of Qiyamah. That all my efforts, my waking up for tahajjud salah, my charity, my hard-earned wealth that I gave in the path of Allah, and all the good actions that I persevered, my blood, sweat and tears for the deen of Allah, all goes to waste and there is nothing to show for it on the day of Qiyamah. We are in the month of Rabiul Awal, respected brothers and elders. We have heard about the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have heard about his life, about his birth, about his demise. But let us take these lessons from the seerah, the akhlaq, the character, the mindset of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, thinking good of others, looking, making excuses for others, and concealing others in this world, then it will become a means of my concealment in this world and in the hereafter. Allah give us tawfiq and understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.